Let's Steal the Alchemy Club by Michaela. Read by Night Tracer. Fandom, Carmilla and Leverage. Summary. Parker, Elliot and Hardison find their way to Silas when Hardison finds Laura's webcasts. Turns out the anglerfish is a lot easier to subdue than anyone thought. Also, Elliot now has Perry's brownie recipe. Elliot knew about the things that went bump in the night, more than just the mercenaries and former special forces who he dealt with on a daily basis. The rumours had started when he was in the army, and they were stationed in the ass end of nowhere chasing whatever the hell it was Uncle Sam had sent them after. They were given very specific apprehension instructions. Some of the people Elliot served with took those instructions, followed them to the letter, and never thought about them again. Elliot followed them, and then couldn't forget them. He didn't get specifics about what they'd been after until he'd left the army, and struck out on his own. It had been some minor demon making trouble. Apparently the military had an entire task force to deal with such things, but they'd been occupied by a pissed-off ice monster attacking along the Alaska-Canadian border. Who knew? Working for Damien Moreau had filled any remaining gaps in his knowledge. He had various books that were marked as belonging to Silas University for Elliot to read. Damien then sent him to track down a few of those nasties. Elliot did it because he thought they were monsters. Nothing good could come of their existence. He'd been wrong. But it was because of that history that Elliot had been ready to veto the idea of going to the Silas campus when Parker suggested it. Because of course Parker knew about Silas freaking university. Apparently, she'd done a few jobs there. Elliot had, very carefully, not reacted to that news. She was a thief. What the hell could she have stolen from Silas that wouldn't have put an instant curse on her? Worse, what if this meant that death really was following her around? And all the time she jumped off buildings, the Grim Reaper was rolling the dice, and Parker just had exceptionally good odds. Hardison was the deciding vote. Apparently the thought of a sentient computer program was too much to pass up. Judging by the look on Hardison's face, if Elliot and Parker didn't go with him, he'd end up there on his own. Which is what led them here. Standing in another room, as Laura explained to her friend that she'd gotten outside reinforcements. The girls argued for a few minutes before Laura called them into the room for introductions. Elliot made sure he didn't turn his back on Carmilla. He knew a vampire when he saw one. She raised a dark eyebrow at him and turned the page in her book. Elliot tried really hard not to notice what it was she was reading, despite the fact that that book shouldn't even exist, and he wanted to read it so bad. Did the 16th century monks really have to burn the entire collected works of Lothar the Dim? O. Henry had not been the father of the detective agency. "Did you know about this?" asked the tall one. Danny, she was pointing at Carmilla with accusation in her posture, but Elliot thought it all looked like show. Carmilla shrugged, but never looked up from her book. "Hey now," interrupted Hardison. "We're here to help. That's what we do." "Hardison has a program that scrubs the internet looking for people who might need help," piped up Laura. Her face was turned slightly towards the webcam, sitting on top of her computer, and Elliot didn't roll his eyes that she was still recording, but only barely. Hardison had made them watch all of her videos to date, and she'd already gotten in trouble for this shit before. "Look, I know it sounds suspicious, but we could use the help, guys. We're clearly out of our depth here." Carmilla put her book down, but Elliot was pretty sure she'd been aware of everything the group said. "As much as I hate to admit it," she said, and looked over the three of them again. Parker stopped trying to surreptitiously touch Perry's hair, as she realized someone's attention was on her. "We could use their help. We know the Alchemy Club is involved in this, but they know us. All of us." "So, what are you going to do?" asked LaFontaine. She'd been watching all the proceedings with a distrustful glare, and standing just enough in front of Perry to block the other girl from view. "Easy," said Parker. "We're going to steal the Alchemy Club." The declaration shut everyone up. At least, as they all stared at Parker. She beamed back at them all, and made the crazy that much more obvious. That woman would be the death of him yet. Elliot left Parker and Hardison hashing out the plan with Laura and LaFontaine and followed Perry down the hall to the kitchen. The house they were squatting in really did have an amazing kitchen. The layout was very distinctively 18th century, but all the appliances were state-of-the-art. It was his dream kitchen, made manifest, and he never wanted to leave. "Look," Perry was saying, "I'm sure you're very good at your jobs, but do you really understand what's going on here?" Elliot recalled her frazzled face when she yelled at the others to just be normal and thought the question was more a cry for help. "Probably more than you," said Elliot. Perry glared at him, and he backtracked a bit. "Nothing against you, hon, just there was a time in my life that this stuff was kind of my life. Demons and monsters and vampires. Granted, I never had a pissed off anglerfish trying to get out of a tiny hole." She gave him a skeptical look. "But not any more?"
"I had a difference of opinion with my employer." Elliot fudged. "What are you making?" he asked, pushing past the awkward silence. "Smells beautiful."
"Brownies. I bake when I'm nervous." Elliot noticed the carefully covered plate of pie and cake, blondies and fudge, and understood completely.
"Yeah. Smells like they're almost done."
Perry's eyes found the clock behind the stove, and she declared they needed 2 more minutes, exactly. She moved to a large sink Elliot had seen something soaking in, and poked at it. "Do you know how to get giant snot out of cotton?" she asked. Her face said that she was falling back on a conversation she was comfortable with, but her eyes told Elliot that she couldn't quite ignore the new twist of the question.
"Baking soda and vinegar," Elliot said without thinking. "If it's really crusty, you might need to add a lime juice and salt."
Perry froze. She hadn't expected Elliot to actually know.
"Lime juice?"
Elliot nodded.
"Lime juice. Lemon juice just makes it greasier for some reason."
She still didn't seem impressed.
"Make you a deal. I'll help you get this out if you let me taste one of your brownies."
It took Perry a few minutes, but she finally nodded her agreement. Hardison nearly shit himself when JP first showed up on the screen to introduce himself. The little guy was all proper and dignified, and like Laura's own personal assistant, and Hardison wanted to poke him like the Pillsbury Doughboy and see if he made a sound. But he didn't. And Elliot wasn't even there to see it, which was a damn shame, because he should get a celebratory blowjob or something for that. Handjob, at least. Laura caught his attention when she showed him the school archives she'd been trying to crack for the last 4 days with no success, and this is where Hardison did his magic.
"Now this is a thing of beauty," he declared. "How old even is this thing?" he muttered.
The security system was DOS-based, and who the hell even used DOS anymore? And so old as to seem uncrackable. Actually, he was pretty sure they were using some old DARPA security protocols that had last been employed against the damn Soviets, but older was oddly effective against younger hackers. It was child's play to him. Laura watched it all with fascination, and Hardison didn't even notice he was explaining what he was doing to her until Carmilla made a comment. Laura glared at the vampire and then told him to continue. Hardison took enough time to glance over to where Parker and LaFontaine were deep in discussion before giving Carmilla his best look and going on. He ignored the way Carmilla chuckled under her breath. When they got through the last of the firewalls, he and Laura both lapsed into silence as they started to go through the files. A lot of it was bureaucratic nonsense, but there were a few things that looked like the administration and the Alchemy Club were working together. He started collecting the files together to show Parker and Elliot. He was about to show Laura some other cool tricks when his nose distracted him.
"I smell brownies," he declared.
Laura laughed at him. "Perry bakes the best brownies." As if on cue, Perry and Elliot came back in. Perry was carrying a plate of brownies, and Elliot had his sleeve rolled up, wiping his hands on a towel. The bastard looked smug, and Hardison knew he'd already had one. Not fair. He forgot all about that when he took a bite. It was like a little bite of chocolatey puff heaven. Then it was gone. He stared at his hands like they'd betrayed him by not automatically refilling with brownie goodness. A look around the room revealed everyone had paused for brownies, and the room was silent, but for a bit of chewing.
Not that he needed to chew much. It was like they had melted in his mouth, become like a gooey liquid gold. Elliot came up behind him and held out another half brownie, and was really considering kissing the man right here and now. He knew Elliot didn't like PDA while they were on a job. Damn it, Hardison, that was just asking for trouble. But no one was paying attention. Don't even think about it, grumbled Elliot, like the mind reader he was. Just eat your damn brownie. So he did. You got the recipe, right? Asked Parker. She appeared like a damn ghost on Elliot's other side. Hardison would have laughed at Elliot, pretending not to jump, but he was too occupied with brownie. Parker found the house's secret passages almost immediately. They were pretty obvious. She'd expected it to be like the house from the murder mystery job. She'd liked the passages in that house. They'd been just tight enough that she'd felt safe, but given her enough room that she could do the odd cartwheel without slamming her feet into the roof. These passages were so much better. She could actually use the passages to get above some of the rooms. Crawl spaces outside of vents. Genius. She was building these into her house when she retired. She checked the room where the boys were staying first and found Hardison aggravating Elliot like normal. Elliot glanced around once while she was there, like he knew they weren't alone, but didn't actually go hunting for her. He probably knew it was her. Next, she found Carmilla, curled up with a book. The vampire glanced up. "Move along, little bird," she said. She sounded a lot like Elliot. Parker did. Watching people read was boring, anyway. Next, he found Laura doing another update on her blog. Or vlog? Whatever. Hardison would know. Then, there was LaFontaine and Perry. When they'd first watched the videos, Hardison had said they were obviously dating. Elliot told him that he didn't know that. They were kids anyway, so what the hell, Hardison? Parker smiled at the memory, but it faded as she listened. Well, do you know what makes you feel more like a boy? Perry was asking. Or a girl? I mean, should I not do something? Or do something more? That's not how it works, Pear. I just don't usually feel like one or the other. It has nothing to do with you or anything you do. And you're okay with it? Yeah, I'm still just me. Why is that so hard to understand? I worry about you. What if people start bullying you? LaFontaine turned really quiet when she said, "People have been bullying me all my life, Pear. There's nothing you can do to change that." Perry sighed and stared at LaFontaine for a long minute before leaving. Parker watched LaFontaine and felt sad. LaFontaine was just staring at the computer screen, and Parker wanted to help but didn't know how. The screen beeped and LaFontaine looked up with a frown. "Who's there? I know you're there." Parker stuck part of her head out from behind the tapestry, covering the entrance of the passages. "Hey," she said. LaFontaine glanced back the way Perry had gone, before getting up to investigate where Parker was hiding. "What is that?" "Secret passage," said Parker. "Want to check it out?" "Hell yeah." Parker smiled and beckoned her new friend inside. They walked in silence for a few turns before LaFontaine finally spoke again. "So, how much of that did you hear?" "A bit. Sorry I was snooping." "It's okay." They were silent again. "So, how did you find these? We've been here for almost a week, and I never realized they were here." Parker smiled. Now they were talking about something she knew. "Old houses like these usually have them. They're old servants' tunnels. Pretty cool, huh?" "Yeah. I wonder how many of the other buildings have them. I wonder if the bio building has them." "Bio doesn't have passages, but the vents there are pretty awesome." LaFontaine gave her a funny look. "You've been to the bio building? When?" "A few years ago. I saw some specimen jar. I really liked it, and almost didn't give it to the client." "Wait, you mean the centaur eye that went missing 8 years ago? That was you?" Parker shrugged. "It was pretty cool." "Yeah, it was. I was so mad I didn't get to see it. I mean, they were wasting it just letting it sit in the jar like that. Who'd you steal it for? Please tell me they're going to do more than just let it sit there."
"Maybe."
Parker shrugged again. "I don't really keep track of stuff after I steal it. Is that what you're going to do? Study stuff?" Parker wasn't very good at normal people jobs or how they got them. I don't know. I kind of want to stay here and work in the labs. But I don't even know if Saz will be here long enough for me to graduate. Parker frowned. Why? Because of the anglerfish? Silas has been through worse. The last time I was here, I found this basement library that had all these books about all the times people have tried to take over the school. They've tried to use the anglerfish guy like 4 times. LaFontaine stopped and grabbed Parker's arm. Parker didn't know how gender fluid worked, but she didn't stab LaFontaine, which was pretty good progress.
You found what?
You had to show me. Where was it?
In a sub-basement under the history building, but you can only get there through an old wine cellar.
I can get in some pretty tight spaces. I'll manage. Let's go.
They were almost to the history building, and Parker noticed their extra companion. Did Carmilla not want LaFontaine to know the vampire was coming too? Or maybe Carmilla didn't want Parker to know? But that was silly. Parker always knew when someone was following her, even when that someone was currently in feline form.
Do you think Elliot is hitting on Pear?
LaFontaine suddenly asked, breaking the comfortable silence they'd fallen into. Parker frowned. She's not the bad guy. Why would Elliot hit on her?
Wait, does Elliot normally hit on the bad guys?
Parker scoffed. Of course, he's the hitter. It's what he does. She'd thought LaFontaine was pretty smart, but now Parker wasn't so sure.
Oh, no, I mean, is he trying to seduce her?
Oh, well, why didn't he just say? And no, Elliot is with us. He just flirts to make people like him so he doesn't have to hit them.
LaFontaine didn't seem convinced, but Parker couldn't help that. It was the truth. As much as Elliot flirted with everything that moved sometimes, and Hardison was close behind him, neither of her boys had any interest in going outside of their threesome. Which was good, because Parker may be new to this whole relationship thing, but she already knew that losing it wouldn't end with her in a stable place.
Really? LaFontaine asked again. Maybe there was some credence to the idea of her and Perry dating, or maybe they were at that just-before place where none of it made sense, but you just wanted to hold your boys tight and never let them go. Or girl. Whatever.
Really? Said Carmilla, as she finally took her human form and seamlessly ended their conversation. LaFontaine squeaked, and Parker suppressed the urge to make her do that again. She was always intrigued by the funny sounds other people made and why they made them.
Carmilla gave LaFontaine a sideways look, while the other girl, person, glared.
Easy there, Tiger.
Damn it, Carmilla! Can't you make a sound of something when you do that?
Anyway, I thought you were staying with Laura.
She's a big girl. Besides, I wanted to see this library.
Parker glanced back as they came to the cellar entrance.
You didn't know about it?
Why would I?
Parker shrugged. There are some pictures of you. I assume they belong to your mum.
Carmilla went still and quiet, and Parker's predator instincts told her to stay still, too. LaFontaine watched the two of them with a worried look, but Parker couldn't tell what she was more afraid of. Carmilla's reaction, or Parker's counter.
Parker wasn't worried, but she liked Carmilla, and didn't want the charm she'd carried since the last time she was here to hurt the vampire. That would be really awkward to explain.
Carmilla finally eased her posture and shook her head. The move threw her hair over her eyes, and hid the darker cast from LaFontaine anyway. Parker had seen it immediately. Note to self, don't talk about the old Dean, a.k.a. Carmilla's mum.
No, she never mentioned it,
Carmilla said, her voice gone quiet.
Wait, interjected LaFontaine. If you were here 8 years ago, she pointed to Parker, then how did you two not meet?
Carmilla paused for a beat more before moving to open the cellar. It was locked, but that wasn't an issue.
I was away, she said.
Parker followed Carmilla into the cellar, and then pointed to one of the shelves. Carmilla glanced around it for half a moment before finding the latch and revealing the small gap that was barely a third the width of the normal hallway.
You weren't kidding about tight, were you? Asked LaFontaine.
Parker shrugged. I've been in tighter. She didn't mention that she'd been much younger and much smaller at the time. They fell into silence as the three made their way in. Carmilla gave it a single contemptuous look before returning to her cat form, while Parker moved with relative ease. She had to coach LaFontaine about controlling her breathing, but otherwise they made it through unscathed. The book was still where Parker remembered it being, open on a table like someone was either in the middle of reading or writing it. Carmilla moved straight for it with only a bare glance at the three portraits hung on the wall, with her face. There were a few others of other vampires, but none were repeated like Carmilla. Parker supposed it said something about how much her mother really had cared.
"Can I take all these back?" whispered LaFontaine.
Parker didn't think The words were meant to be heard. Anyway, that was Carmilla's call. The vampire barely spared the request, I thought. Not before we know if anyone will miss them. For now, we stick to just this one. Parker pouted slightly when Carmilla grabbed the book and headed back the way they'd come. She'd always liked little rooms like this. The shelves hemmed the place in, and there was only a small table and an overstuffed chair to fill the rest of the space. Oh well, she'd just have to come back before they finished this job. Carmilla pointedly didn't think about what that little library meant. The place had clearly belonged to her mother. The familiar scent of lavender and death had been the obvious sign. But there were other little things. A cup of mother's favourite tea, down to just the dregs, and a small collection of quills on the table, with mother's ink blend that she'd mixed herself because no one in this country could mix it right. The portraits. She'd seen enough of the book to know there's one of those tomes that was bound to a location and chronicled the events therein. She didn't even realise Silas had one. Made sense, though. She'd have to make a careful study of it before she let Laura delve into its secrets. There were some parts of her history that she'd prefer to tell Laura about on her own terms. She ignored LaFontaine and Parker as the three made their way back and only turned back in when she saw Parker's hitter watching them from the doorway. Carmilla suspected there was a little something extra in that one. She gave him a smart smile and let Parker take the lead as she told him all about the little library and the amazing book she'd found. Elliot took it all in while managing to keep an eye on Carmilla. Impressive, especially when Parker circled the entire group like a magpie watching for Shiny. Laura appeared in the doorway, brought out by all the excitement. Carmilla was happy to be away from the damn camera. She loved Laura, there was no doubt, but her entire demeanor changed when she was in front of the thing. And sometimes Carmilla just wanted Laura, not Laura the vlogger. Before long, they had the whole gang, and Carmilla stayed to the side in an effort to keep from saying something incredibly sarcastic. Laura gave her dirty looks when Carmilla offended her friends. As she expected, they made their way into the room with the camera, and Carmilla took up her usual position on the chaise, a slot flipping through the book. The book was written in High German, covering the last few centuries, and moving back through the Germanic languages of the time. It would be an excellent exercise in linguistics, if nothing else. Elliot, Perry, Parker, and LaFontaine spent a good time arguing over whether the trio should have made their little journey on their own. Carmilla's name was thrown around as protector or something, but no one addressed her specifically. So she kept reading. By the time Laura did turn to Carmilla, she'd found the section about the anglerfish god, and really, was the solution really that easy? Feed it and sing it a lullaby. You're kidding, said Laura, after she told the group. No, but apparently the thing got stuck a long time back and struck up a bargain. We feed it and sing it back to sleep, and the thing will hibernate. Actually kind of ingenious, commented Hardison, as he started typing on his laptop. Carmilla was pretty sure he was Googling German lullabies. What does it eat? Asked Perry, ever the practical one. The wheels were already turning in the floor don's head. Livestock, mostly. Although, apparently it did develop a taste for sweets about 150 years ago, so maybe we should try some of your brownies. Oh dear. Perry looked toward the kitchen, and Carmilla could swear she was doing the math for a batch times 50. Maybe the chemistry department would help. Does it say how much? She asked. It looks like we need to find a couple dozen head of cattle and about 10 pigs. Top it off with some pastries, and we should be good. Wait, said Parker. The alchemy club was gathering livestock. Maybe they've been trying to close the chasm all along. Carmilla wasn't really sure what to think of that, except that it meant she wouldn't get to see this group steal the alchemy club. Pity. The end. Thank you for listening.